Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, that's the lovely Kimberly, who's getting married tomorrow, as a matter of fact. But anyways, welcome. We've been gone a few weeks, took a break, a nice break for us, actually, and I don't know how we're going to be doing the show, if we're going to be doing it every other week. I have my lovely stars, Maya Moon, with me, and, of course, our stars priestess, Candy, is in the room to talk to you, to do one-question readings. Please go in there, and if you'd like to call in and share something, you certainly can. The number is 347-838-9736. So, my lovely Maya Moon, how are you this evening? Good?
I am. I'm doing good. It's good to be back. And, of course, welcome to all the listeners. Glad to have everyone back with us. Or if this is your first time, I know that, as you know, Natalie, that they'll love the show and be back for more. And it's a great topic. I really like this topic. In fact, I don't know, we could probably even go 2 weeks on this one, but we can see how it goes and decide whatever you want to do. But
okay.
This is a personal one. Now, you sound fine now, and you can check with Candy, but when I listened, when the commercial was going, it was very staticky, and I don't know if that's a, I'm assuming it's an issue on Blog Talk. So hopefully everyone
is
able to hear. Okay.
Yeah, is it staticky for me? Do you hear me?
No,
is it staticky?
No, this time it is not. No, you're
okay. Yeah.
It's so clear.
Okay,
so,
and I want to tell everybody the topic tonight is the energy of the collective. So we'll be talking about that, and I'm going to let you, Maya, start it all off.
Okay. Basically, the energy, when we refer to the collective, or when myself and my guides, you know, if you've listened to me before, or you've read my blogs, then you know that most of the information that I channel does come from my guides. So just to clarify things, because there can be different alternate meanings, when I'm referring, like in this topic, when I refer to the collective, it is the combined spiritual energy or source or that living things, and predominantly those, of course, of human. You know, there is a, I'm sure we're all aware, animals don't make fire. You know, we talked about that, how that varies. And, you know, even though everything is living, a flower is a living creature, a bee is, even quartz, crystal, gemstones are considered to be living, so water is considered often to be living. So we have all that. What we're looking at mostly or focusing primarily on is the collective, which just means that of all other human beings that we share the planet with. And while there's another realm, and again, this is just what I've been taught. It, you know, everyone has to take what resonates within them and go with it. But from what's been shared with me is that, okay, so we all have, there's an unconscious cord. So if you can imagine like a grid, or even though we don't see it, there's this fine little piece of twine that connects our spiritual energy. And then those that have crossed over or that are no longer human in this particular lifetime or at currently or present, they may still have some influence. There may be some connections and bonds like family members or things like that, but they're not so much in what I would call our active grid. So if I always look at it, I guess maybe that's how my guides taught me, is by showing me like an electrical grid and showing me that, okay, let's say it's the hottest month of the summer and almost every light is lit up. Even those couple little lights that have yet to be lit, they're still connected. They're still part of the grid. So those would represent then all human beings, because in order to be a live human being, it is our belief that you have to have a spiritual being. So that's what we talk about. So as we go through our journey, then we can take a look at how much does the collective, does that greater good impact our choices, and or does it at all? And what can be gotten or what is received from that, even if it's not a, you know, like a conscious, okay, well, I'm going to do this. I'm not talking about manipulation, although people can manipulate. So it's more what we would perhaps give and then we receive in return. So the way that I feel, it's like if you are you can think of it as floating. Let's say that you're trying to float a river that has virtually the water's dried up, it's the end of the summer, and just every so often you just get that little bit of wind that kind of pushes you, you know, just a little bit further. That's the power of the collective. I believe that the collective energy has great resources for us, great power, and that it also can enable us to advance our lessons, achieve our purpose and potential, but at the same time, it can hold us back. So with all that being said, where do you stand in all this, Natalie? How do you feel
Well,
about
I have a question. So every person is energy. That's how I see it. Everybody is energy. Now, does this relate to, like, you know, you give off great energy. I do. I hope I do. So the two of us can together really push the energy out. So it's a good thing. It's not negative at all. Does it apply like that?
Yes. I would say that
okay.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, for example, like, you know, how sometimes, you know, we can use somebody on the phone because I'm always on the phone and always talking. You get somebody on the phone and they answer and right away you know, oh, this is not good energy. This is not good. And what do you end up doing is you respond maybe not with good energy, but you get this feeling from them, so you're not being your most powerful self with your energy. I think it can happen like that. I try to talk to people. It doesn't matter who they are, unless they're selling something and I'm really not interested and they've called my number that I have for Google, I get annoyed because they won't say who they are. Then I get a little annoyed. But when I hear their voice, I right away know, no, I'm not going to deal with this. I mean, can it be applied like that?
I believe that it can be, yes. I believe
okay.
It can be applied.
That's good. It's like calling the IRS. I called two different people because I had some questions. I pay online. And the man was so nice. I mean, he said, okay, go into your account. I'll show you what to do. And I told him. I mean, I said, boy, don't you get tired of answering the phone? Don't you get a lot of negative people? He said, well, I'm going to tell you something. And the lady told me the same thing. Not exactly, but she meant the same thing. He said, you know, when I get somebody like you, who's really nice on the phone, he said, how can I respond but nice? I have to be nice. I have to be helpful. I said, oh, I don't know. You might get tired during the day and say, oh, God, I got another call. Another person answering has to have all these questions answered. He said, no, it depends on the voice that's on the other end for me. He asked me, he said, well, how do you do it? I said, I do it the same way. So we had a great conversation. I called a lady. I got a lady the next time, the nicest lady. Now, this is at the IRS, right? And
right.
She was so sweet to me, and she said, gee, it's so nice talking to you. And I said, well, you know, I mean, I have simple questions, but I'm sure you get tired of answering them. She says, no, not when I have somebody like you on the phone. So you see, that good energy attracted. It was right there, solid, really good. Hopefully the next call that she got, she could give off good energy, even if the person was not. Because sometimes people call and complain. Well, I don't agree with this and all of that. But probably in a position like that, it's very hard. But I think when you encounter somebody who's really nice, how can you not be nice? I mean, that's the way I handle things. But being in the line of work that I'm in, dealing with all kinds of people all over the world, I mean, some days I get slammed with all these questions from even my staff, you know, one after the other. And they're simple questions, and they're legitimate. I mean, they're just, you know, not calling me to tell me they have a hangnail or something. You know, I mean, they're very legitimate. But sometimes I have to sit back because my phone goes bing, 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 and I have to just sit back and answer one at a time. And know that these people have a legitimate question or a concern, and I handle them that way. And I think the more you give off good energy, the more good energy you're going to get. It's just like not being, say you wake up and you're crabby. You don't even know why you're crabby, but you are. Well, you can bet that you're going to give that off to somebody who calls. But maybe that person that calls will offset you being crabby or in a bad mood. I mean, everybody has things that happen, and when you ponder them too long, that's when it becomes an issue. But, you know, like if you have somebody really nice that's calling, and they can change that energy for you quickly because they can give off that wonderful stuff. I have people that do that to me every day. And so I can't stay in a mode for very long. And I feel, like you said about animals and like my mushy. I have Dixie Girl here now, but I've got her covered up or she'd be squawking away. She gives off energy, like, you know, I can tell just by looking at her. I approach her because she's not my bird, but I approach her with love because I know she knows me, but she's not with her mom, you know, my daughter-in-law. And so the first day or so, oh, she's kind of iffy with me. She's looking at me, and she doesn't really eat. But come the second day, she realizes, uh-oh, I better be nice to her. She's not going to feed me again. I mean, she knows. And I hand-feed her. And like the first day, she kind of grabs at it really fast, and I'll say, no, no, no. The second day, she's back to normal with me. So she gets my energy. The first day, I held back with her because I thought, uh-oh, am I going to have a problem with her? Because I have to change her paper all the time. That means sticking my hand in her cage. And but even pets, like Mushy. Mushy knows when I really need him beside me. I must give off something that he senses that. And all of a sudden, he'll be there, and he'll be rubbing against me and purring really, really loud, almost like to say, it's okay, Mom. It's going to be fine. You'll see. I'm here. Mushy's here. Your Mushy man is here. And it's true. But can't it be applied like that?
I said, yeah, I can picture that, definitely.
Oh, yeah, and he purrs louder and louder. If he senses that I can just be thinking about something, and maybe he tells how I can tell how I walk, the essence that I give off, you know, oh, something's going on with my mom. And I think he knows, even just like a person that would call me and know in my voice, she's not got that high vibration, something's going on, she's just not right. And that's true. That's really, really true. I find it happening every single day. But birds and ducks, I have all these ducks, and I'm so careful when I go close to them because I want them to know that I really love seeing them and I don't want to hurt them. And they know. They sense my energy. They know. And I've got so many of them on my front lawn and the back, and what a beautiful sight that is. So yeah, I mean, everything has that energy, and I think saying that it's collective, you can collect that from something, you know, like you said, anything, a bee, anything. A flower, you go look at a flower, and you maybe I don't feel so good today, something's going on, or, you know, whatever, and you go to that flower and you smell it, doesn't it make you feel really good? Of course it does. That's collective. I feel collective energy, correct?
Yes. And I would say that would be the part of the collective energy, definitely. And I especially like what you said, like about the, you said ducks. You didn't say swans, did you?
No, I said ducks. We don't have swans here, no.
I think that was my imagination.
Would be nice if we had swans in the lagoon. Oh, my God, would that be awesome? I would love it.
But then that's the perfect way of explaining, like, the energy, because obviously we can't quack the ducks. I mean, I'm sure you could quack, but it probably wouldn't make any sense to them. And
no. You
could, you know, shake, you know, how they do their little motions with their heads and their...
Oh, yeah.
We get into
them.
But we wouldn't really make sense. But the one thing that we can do is we can offer our intentions and our energy, which is what you learn to do, and you've been sure that anytime you interact around them, that you probably go slower and you're more cautious about your movements because you want to relay the message. The message that you want them to know is that, you know, I come in peace, or, you know, you're at peace here. No one's going to hurt you. I'm not, you know, I want you to be comfortable. I want you to feel my energy. And so I'm sure they do. I'm sure, I don't know if you can compare how they act or how they mull around your area versus your neighbors, if there's a way of really evaluating, but I would say, I mean, ducks are pretty, they're pretty skittish, generally.
They are, yes, they are.
I mean, every so often, you know, I mean, I know around here, Arkansas, you know, we're known for our lakes and tributaries and all that. And we have some areas, some special park areas that are designated kind of feed the ducks. But even those, they'll only come a certain distance in a certain group to get the bread. And if you don't throw it far enough, they won't, you know, I mean, they just won't come. So they're kind of, they're a very skittish animal. Just like a lot of people would say that, you know, your smaller birds, your sparrows or blue jays and all that. So that's really a good example of how we can influence with our energy. We can influence the collective, which in your case would be, you know, the getting the ducks to get to be more comfortable so that you can feed them or just enjoy. To me, it's would be enjoyable just
watching. You know what, Maya, we must have 100 of them between Diane next door and myself. And they nestle in. We have pine straw. I have a lot of it around my house. And they just kind of dig in. And I had eggs last year. And I'm not really going out there because I see them a whole lot. And so I don't want to disturb anything. But it is the most beautiful sight.
Oh,
she feeds them. And then they come over to my house. They go on my front lawn and sit there and like they own the place. Which makes me feel really good because you got to think they must really feel comfortable by my house.
Right.
And I love that. I really, really love that. You can do a lot with animals and anything, really, if you try. We have hummingbirds. I mean, it's not uncommon for a hummingbird to come, like, bean you on the head. They get that close down south here. And they fly backwards and they're beautiful. You just want to just look at all of these beautiful things. Makes you feel so good about life. LIFE, you know? And if I have really super bad days, I can call anybody. Actually, I'm, like I said, I'm blessed, but I try how I do it, and I'm sure I'm getting that collective energy. I get really quiet and sit down, and I just sit there. I don't think. I just sit there. And in a matter of minutes, and, you know, everybody knows how I believe, matter of minutes, it's all taken away, and I'm back to where I should be so I can be productive and do what I have to do. So, but part of it, you know, is you have to feel that way. You have to believe that way. And it's, but it works. It works. I have it with my cat. You know, you have it with your dogs. You know, same thing. You know,
and
it doesn't have to be a human.
And now you're having it with Dixie Girl, where you're saying that she's not really your bird, but once she's been there, you know, a couple of days, and she starts to kind of bond with you and get
to your
program. And,
you know, I sweet talk her, and I even told my son she's talked when I've been in the room. That's unusual because she doesn't do that at all. Now, my Leo, the bird I had, he would do that all the time. You could hear him talking in the background. But this bird, she likes to talk when you're not around because she figures you can't hear her. But little does she know we can hear her. But, yeah, I noticed that with her, with Dixie, that she's kind of testing out the situation, getting a feel of how of my energy, I think. Just, well, I remember this energy now. Okay, this is good. Yeah, I better be nice to her. She's not going to feed me. But, yeah, I can hand feed her now. Like last night and today, perfect. I had no problems with her at all. She's just, but the first, like, Friday night and Saturday, she was a little iffy. But she doesn't puff out. Leo used to puff out. He puffed his feathers out. If a man came in the room, or my son or my late husband, he'd puff his feathers out like, who do you think you are? You're by my mom? Uh-uh. No, I was his. He was attached to me. And they do that, and they let you know. You don't realize what energy they sense, but they really do. You and I have seen it many times with our pets.
Yeah.
And it's... but it's a beautiful sight here with all the ducks because they waddle. And then the male is at the head, you know, he's like the boss. Come on. And what the nice thing is that when you see the little babies in the lagoon following the two of them, it's such a sight. It's a beautiful sight that there is. And you just want to go out there and just absorb everything from them because they're so beautiful and so dainty. Of course, everybody, I don't know if everybody knows, but my most favorite animal is the giraffe. And I just look at them and I get this wonderful feeling. Isn't it strange? I've always loved them. I like cats, though, too. Yeah, you know,
can you recall, like, your earliest memory of what, or it's just something from as long as you can remember, you've just always been infatuated with the giraffe? I mean, does it symbolize something to you? I'm just curious.
I don't know. Well, it's it's their face and their ears. They just have the most sweetest, they're gentle.
Yeah, they do.
They're gentle. Even my granddaughter put a picture of a baby giraffe on my phone.
Oh.
She surprised me. She, come on, Graham, give me your phone. I'm gonna get some color on it, you know, and I just let her do it. And, I think she put Grammy on it now. I think it's Grammy, but there's a picture of the giraffe. Yeah, it says Grammy, and she knows I like sparkly stuff, so behind the word Grammy is all these sparkly things, and then when it goes to, after a while, it'll go to the giraffe, you know, when I go to push the button, and then it goes to the giraffe, and then all my little applications show up. Oh, yeah, I love it. It's their gentleness, and I think I told everybody I was able to get really close to giraffes. It was just... It was amazing what happened to me, and I never forgot it. And it was a very rare thing, according to the guide, that it doesn't usually happen like that. But I think my energy, thinking about that, they knew.
Uh-huh.
Because two of them came to me right away, and she was up front, and she motioned for me to go up front. She said, come here. And I'm thinking she's talking to little kids, but no, she was talking to me. She said, come here. I said, why? She said, because I have this nice feeling. And she said, I've been doing this for years, and I'm not usually wrong. She said, you stand here with me and you watch. And sure enough, two of them came right up to me, and they were nuzzling me. And my husband got it on camera, on film, and it was just the best experience. But they knew my energy. They would not leave me. They knew I loved them. They knew.
Right.
And
right.
I don't say you can go up to a lion or a tiger and do that. That's a little risky.
Well, you could, but, I mean, you, yeah, I mean, you would, any of us, which that's a real mixed bag there because, say, I do think a lion and tiger you could, but then you never know when something is going to override that.
It. Exactly. I mean, they could see something that makes them jump, and then they come at you. Yeah, they're not predictable, but I know everybody's seen that man who lays down with the lions and everything, and it's a beautiful sight. Lots of them, but he's been with them when they were cubs. So
right.
They know his scent. They know him, and they've marked him, and they know. And he's not afraid at all. It's amazing. I love to watch him. He's a beautiful man that can relate to that, bring his energy, talking about energy, to that. And I'm sure he gets that. They probably get this easiness around him, this feeling of calm, because that's what he gives off. And they say, don't run. Oh, I would be petrified, but I guess what I would do is just be really still. I'd sit down and I'd just be still and just hope that I didn't get bit, you know, because they're pretty tough. You know, it's tough to be around them, but like a giraffe, no. Elephants, nah. Silverbacks, I'm talking about all the animals, you know, the silverback gorilla.
Right.
You know, you have to be careful because they can just one swat and you're flying. Especially me, and I'm real small, but even so, they're so powerful. But I think you can give off, like the trainers, they know. They give off that energy, and they know, okay, here comes the boss. We better behave. Or
right.
Maybe they'll say, well, I don't want to behave today. You know, I mean, they get in moods too, but the collective energy is really neat, I think. I think you can draw from people, animals, flowers, birds, everything. And really, it's an amazing topic that you chose or your guides chose. But now, you have something here. Do we weigh the collective good or the good of the whole versus what is best for us personally? Sometimes the lines can be blurred, and we are not always able to balance or align both. Would that be like... If with a person, if you were really not sure, you know, your antenna's out. I mean, we do this. We know if a person, how we're going to feel around a person. Sometimes you just have to look at them. Even at a distance, you can tell. I've had that happen to me before. And I just back away. You know, I'm so much the empath that I have to close off. And especially the way I've been now, I'm very open because of another reason, and so maybe that's why I'm so comfy in my home, and I really don't like to go to too many places that I'm unfamiliar with. But I don't know. What do you have to say about all? I'm blabbering so much, right? But I do that.
Well, no, that's good. Well, I believe that there are certain times where, and I was trying to finish up a blog, and I kind of got. It was one of those that just kind of got away from me. Which
oh, yeah, they get away from
me.
You.
They do. But it can be confusing because there. Yeah, that's an example, too, where we have to close off. But then I believe that we are challenged at times throughout our life where we have to make a decision and our choice or continue a certain path. And although it may serve potentially our highest or greatest good, it may not necessarily do so of the collective, meaning of everyone. You know, like we can look at, I mean, this is simplifying things quite a bit. And this is not in any way, let me just preface this by saying, I'm in the U.S., so of course our presidential election is this year, and in no way, shape, or form am I alluding to support of one candidate over another. I'm just simply using this as an analogy. So politics are very private, personal. Okay, but for example, let's say that, and again, this is just for example purposes. I really, really strongly want to say that I'm not putting in my personal opinion. My guides are not giving their opinion. This is just to help sort of set this up. Okay, so let's say that we have two candidates, and let's say that one candidate was, we knew for us, let's say that I knew for myself and my family in our current financial, economic, medical, all that, and my very particular situation, this particular candidate would be the best candidate to serve what I needed, and it would be let's take it up a notch and say that not only would it serve me, but that I would stand to benefit significantly by that person being voted in as president. However, let's say that that very same person, for the majority, which would be the collective, for the majority of good, that's not the case. For the majority of people, it would actually be more difficult for them, create more hardships for them, maybe cost them more money for insurance, maybe their tax rate would increase, maybe home ownership would be further along the way. I mean, those are just examples. So when let's say we're at that voting booth, we're casting that ballot. So those are times when we ask ourselves, okay, so do I place, and of course we're making a lot of assumptions along the way, which I believe every vote counts regardless anyways. But so we're assuming that, let's say that our one vote is the one that's going to take the tides one way or the other. So that's a time where we ask ourselves, you know, who do we give precedence to, or what is, or can we even begin to try to sort through that? So knowing as we stand there and we get ready to make this vote, to cast this ballot, to cast this vote, that if we vote in one particular way, you know, again, fast forwarding and zooming everything 100 times, we know that in 2 months, this candidate by our vote is going to win, and they're going to change all these X and X and X and X and Y so that our life will become substantially easier. Yet, as much as we serve, these are essential items. These aren't, you know, oh, I'm going to get a vacation to Cancun, or I'm going to get to go on a cruise. Let's say that these are necessary things. These are things that revolve around medical care or food or basic housing needs or, you know, basic needs or needs for our children or grandchildren to get a college education in a reasonable amount of time without, you know, having to work 10 times what the amount they go to school. So if you follow me, so here we are, we're faced with this choice. And we know that if we vote this one way, that our life is going to be, you know, made reachable, creatable, the potential, we will finally be able to have things, again, more necessity than, you know, just superficial, you know, type of needs. Or do we forego what's personally best, and do we vote for what we know going to help most, the majority, the most of you know, the collective, which would be the most humans. So let's say that one way helps us and another 20%, but voting the other way doesn't help us or not nearly as much, but yet helps the biggest majority of people. So you can see where, and that may sound very dramatic, But that actually is true. We
very
oh, it's real.
Often, I believe that. You're right on with that. Absolutely.
So what would you say? What would be, I mean, how would you wrestle with that, and how would you...
How would I
yeah.
vote?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Well, knowing
I mean,
how I am,
vote.
You know, no, I would look at it like, oh, okay, well, if I did this way, I would benefit in these ways, and then I would stop and think, well, what would happen if some of these things were not allowed to me or did not improve my life somehow? Would I go with to help the collective energy, really, the collective people there, because there are so many who need X, X, and X? I would probably go the other way, knowing how I am, because I like to look out for the whole piece of it all. I am, it's easy for me to do that, but for some people, it wouldn't be. They would be thinking of themselves, well, no, I'm gonna stand for what I want. I want this, this, and this. I don't care about all of them. But see, I wouldn't do that. It would be based upon what the 80% would attain, and if it would be like housing and food and stuff like that. Well, everybody knows what I would do. I mean, it's just because of who I am.
Okay, but let's take it. All right, let's take it up a notch for you, because you do
okay.
tend to be. You, I agree. You tend to be compassionate. You tend
yes.
to put others before self. But let's
yes.
say that this vote affects your granddaughter.
Oh,
and
of another color.
Yeah. Then,
oh, yeah.
Then how would you feel? Then it would be more
well,
difficult.
If it affects her for the betterment for her, and I could see it, you know, it down the road, like another 4 years, within the 4 years, because she's 12, so she would be 16. Getting close to the end of high school and looking towards college, maybe it would be beneficial for her. Well, then I would put her first, because that's dear to my heart. But again, see, I go with feelings. I go with how I feel, the energy that I feel. She would come first, and I think I would not be that better person, if you will, that would go with the 80%. Now, if it didn't affect her in a way, a real negative way, if I went and did what the 80% were going to do, then I would still go with them. But I would really look it over carefully, because, you know, that is my legacy. That will carry on. And she's very much like I am. And I want her to succeed, and I want her to have all the doors open for her. But, you know, that's really tough. But, again, I would look and see how it would affect her, if there would be anything of benefit to her if I went the other way. And I can't even imagine what it would be, but like education would be foremost for me. Maybe she's probably going to get scholarships because she's really doing well. Some kind of scholarship she'll get. But it would haunt me, Maya, because I would be thinking about all these people, and I wouldn't. And you know me, I don't want to be. I wouldn't be selfish. But if she could come out of this okay, if I went the other way, you know what I'm saying? Then
mm-hmm.
that would be fine with me. But I would really look it over. Because she's dear to my heart, you know. And so there again, there's that energy. There's that love energy. There's that feeling that you have. So what would you do? Let's turn the tables on you.
Well, I mean, I know. It's something that we face, and we can, I believe that we can build up the potential for a greater spiritual, you know, like you like to say grace. I believe that when we can bow down or we can move aside for the greater good of others, that
right.
we have to consider ourselves that we're all a part of that greater good. of others.
Yes.
And so even though at the moment, I guess how I would look at it, or I would like to think that for the most part I would, is that even though I'm not able at the moment, it seems to be a conflict to what my needs are and what my hopes and choices and my outcome for tomorrow is, that I would hope that at some point by going with what is for the greater good of all, for the collective, for the universe, that in some way I will still be somehow, because I am a part of that, you know.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. So because we're all,
you know, if you were to vote this other way, just because, like for me, just because of my granddaughter, first of all, I would have to look at the overall thing. I would sit there and ponder it. You know, okay, this 80% here, this is going to really be good for the 80%. But what's it going to do for the 20%? And am I being selfish because I just want a better education for my granddaughter, or more money for her to make as she, you know, gets older and gets a job? Or do I want to go on to the other side because there's so many people that don't have and won't have the opportunities that she will have? See, that bothers me.
Right.
I would probably go with the 80% if it meant people getting more housing, food, you know, food banks, and some support of some kind, more jobs, no matter how small, having the ability to earn and use their energy to produce. I think that would be good, because like you said, Maya, it's for everybody. And even so, even if you look at it that way, it'll affect that 20% somehow. Somehow, and that's how I have to believe. I cannot believe that it has to be one way or the other. I want it to be for both. You know how I am. But that's probably what I would do. I would look at the overall picture, and if she wouldn't come out, you know, good with it because of that judgment call, and I thought maybe my vote would make it so it would be better for her,
mm-hmm.
Then I would go with that 20%. But it would take some real thinking and pondering, I think, especially on my end, because of the way I am. You know, I mean, that we all, at some point in time, hopefully all have grandchildren, you have children, and you want the very best for them. But you want them to have the opportunity to have the very best. It doesn't mean that they're going to take the, you know, they're going to do it. I mean, some kids have the opportunity, and they just walk right by it. So,
right.
Yeah, that's a tough call. That's a tough call. But I think you and I, the way we are, we would do it right. We would
yeah.
feel good about our decision. We really would. And that makes me wonder about people. Is it a spiritual thing? Do people, you know, Ricky and I were talking, that's Stars Rainbow Rose, we were talking about being awakened. And some people really need to be awakened that have been asleep. And they don't really realize, with them not putting forth all of their effort, they're really hurting the whole earth, the whole world, because they're not opening their eyes, they're not seeing. And maybe that's part of it too. But yeah, I think that's what I. What would you do? I mean, would you ponder it all too? I'm sure you would. I don't even have to ask you. I know you would.
Yes. And I think for most of us, that we would, but I think one of the problems with, you know, that we're facing is, on the one hand, we're facing this, we're coming into some of the most non-judgmental, unbiased, accepting, short of what's been going on recently, that set aside for the moment. We've been coming into some of the more open and from what I gather, attunement, alignment, harmony with spirituality and so on and so forth. So we have all these good things going for us, but yet we still have that drive to, you know, follow our, you know, I just wrote about spiritual independence, which seems like, you know, well, what the heck is that? What difference does that make? But it's actually it's a very big process that we go through. So we're going through a lot right now, and I think that for many of us, we're on the right path and we're doing an amazing job, but then there's others of us that if we're not careful, we can get lost and we can disconnect. And when we do, one of the first things that happens is we no longer share that association at all whatsoever with, you know, the collective. And once, I don't believe that we can completely sever that, because I believe that it's a non-committal bond or connection, if you will, that we can cut it off to its sheerest thin. But I don't believe that we have the power. I believe only divine or creator, God, whatever you want to see. But if we hack away at that, because we are consistently and constantly making choices that support only the I, the me, the us,
yeah,
and so on, then we're going against, I do believe that we're going against the intention and the creative flow that brings us, or is the potential is to bring us forward into our state of grace. And of course, along with that, you have hope and faith that it'll all, you know, come back. So there, you know, you have someone else's back. If we go back to what I first mentioned, just as our analogy, okay, so you make that vote. It's difficult, but you check that box and you make the vote because you know, or you feel, you know, the promise within you, the promise of life and love and light, that if you vote for what is the greater good of all, that in somehow, some way, eventually it will serve you. I believe that it absolutely will. And
I do too.
And so if we don't live our lives that way and we're not careful and we live them simply and solely for what is just our very own, very private, very secular choices, I believe that we're headed for dangerous, slippery ground, because we are impaling ourselves away from that collective. So, I mean, with that, I'm going to take a drink and I don't know.
Give it back to me.
We'll give it back to you. So what I would just say in conclusion is that it's something worth really thinking about, not just with an election, but just with the way that we're living our lives. That, you know, we've talked a lot, Natalie, we've always been really open about things. So the last thing I would just share is that we don't have to necessarily to be successful or to see our dreams or those that we love accomplished. We don't have to throw someone else under the bus kind of, you know, mentality state. And that, you know, they say there's safety in numbers, and spiritually I believe that to be true. Now, do you think this is something that we would want to discuss for another
time, another week, another week? I don't know if we're going to do next week or the week after, whatever. I mean, that's up to you. I mean, you know me, I can talk for hours on anything. I can bring in anything.
I'll let you, my voice is about giving out, so I'll let you finish it up.
Okay, and we'll decide, and I'll let everybody know, of course. And I did want to tell you, Maya, that some of your clients do listen to our show, and I'll tell you in email who they are. They have mentioned it to me. Oh, you're not doing the radio tonight? How come? That was for last week, you know, and I said, no, next week we'll probably do it. So that's a nice, and she listens to it not when we're doing it live. She listens to it after. So there's a lot of people that, yeah, that's a nice thing. There's a lot of people that don't realize all the shows are archived. you can go all the way. I mean, I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but there's a lot of them that you can listen to and get a lot of information, a really good information, because I feel that Maya and I, and of course Candy's in the chat room, we are of the light. We want the best for everyone. And I think when you feel that way and you are that way, I mean, the collective energy between me and you and Candy is really, really good, really strong. So if you want to get some good energy from us, you need to keep listening to us, I think, and the topics are really wonderful. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell everybody, tomorrow I have a recorded interview going on, and the station is going to be, do I have it even written? I can tell you the one that's going to be live is going to be at 2:24 tomorrow, and it's prnfm.com. It's a professional network that I've been invited to do 8 minutes of an interview that I submitted about myself and all of that, and I have to kind of, you know me, I can talk really fast, so I can really say a lot. But I'll be doing that, and then there's a recorded one, a 30-minute one. And if you're on Facebook, you can go to Jupiter Rising because it's going to be on that station. And that's that one, and then it's going to be run again next, another one next Tuesday. So lots of good things coming, and it's really talk about energy. I'm doing this one station out in Washington State. Then I had a call on Thursday from a New York station that goes worldwide. They want to do 8 minutes with me because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a woman, and I'm successful. They chose me. You know, they periodically do this. They're trying to empower women. Oh, and I'm the perfect one for them to listen to. So they wanted me to talk, and hopefully I'll be invited back for something longer. But it's a pretty powerful station. It's an FM, and they just go out everywhere. So I could get some other interviews out of it. I have this feeling, though, Maya, that they're going to want me back because I know how I can talk, and I think they're going to hear me. And what I have to say, they're going to want to hear more. I want to hear more. And they're just going to basically ask me about how did I do all of this? How did I get it started and all that kind of good stuff? So that's exciting. A lot of good things happening for STARS. We are, if there are any clients or potential clients out there, if you make a purchase, we're sending you a special mailer. You get 10 minutes added on to your next purchase. That's going out to quite a few thousand. My staff doesn't even know that yet. But we're trying to do a lot of different things for STARS. And a lot of good things are happening, and I don't even lift a finger. It's all the energy. The energy, it's just all coming, all of it. All of it is coming, and I always say that if I go, everybody else goes. So it's a good thing. I'm going to be putting up my Wikipedia page. Can you imagine that? I'm going to be on Wikipedia. Everybody says I should do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, it's okay, you know what I mean? But everybody, if you're like an open book on that. But I don't really mind that. I mean, everybody can ask me what they want and all that kind of good stuff. So I don't know if we're doing this next week, everybody. I will discuss it. I will convene with my Maya Moon, like she does with her guides, and we'll make a decision, and we might be doing a second part of this if we feel that we need to. And with that, I want to thank Candy. She's in the room, and she pushes everything out. She does all the marketing on that, and it's a wonderful thing. She's got those magic fingers. I tell her all the time, it's wonderful. I am surrounded by the best in the world. I really am. And Maya Moon, of course, she knows how much I love her, and Candy knows, and I think it's a good thing. And again, do everything under grace. It's not pay it forward. That's not what it is. It is you just kind of hold out your hand and say, here, I'm doing this for you, or I'm giving this to you. Nothing, don't expect anything in return. That is part of under grace. And if everybody could do that for somebody, just think of what a beautiful world we would have. So I keep telling everybody that on Twitter. I have now 10,000 followers on Twitter, 10,000 plus now. So I'm pretty proud of that. That's exciting. And with that, I'm going to say good night, and we'll see you again. Love you, Maya Moon. Love you, Miss Candy. She's in there, and she's sending out her little prompts, you know, the little things about everybody and what we do and all that kind of good stuff. And Maya Moon, have a good evening. Candy, I know you're listening. You have a great
evening.
Pardon me?
I said yes, you too, and love to you.
Oh, I know. Okay, well, okay, everybody, we'll see you either next week or the following week, but just watch for all of the posts from Candy and Facebook, and it also goes to Twitter. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight, and I love all of you very, very much. Bye-bye.